Our guest is Brad Hayes. He's scholar in residence here at WAMC, as well as professor of political science at Union College. Oh, that too. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. Okay, Brad Hayes, let me ask you this. You are a Supreme Court scholar. I know that. So what are the big cases that the Supreme Court is looking at this spring? And I'm assuming that Neil Gorsuch will probably be on the court. What effect will that have?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Let me start by saying this. I mean, one of the things that those of us paying attention to the court were concerned about when the Republicans refused to act on the nomination of Merrick Garland was that essentially you'd have what is like a largely dead term, meaning that the court would be reticent to decide many cases, that they would avoid some of the more pressing concerns because those tend to be more divisive. And whether, in fact, they would be evenly split or not, you may want to have a full court decide them to kind of enhance their legitimacy. And that seems to be playing out. The court, while it's still deciding some important cases, hearing some ones that have kind of caught the national limelight, it has kind of avoided some of these more controversial cases. And at least it is on pace to have one of its lowest number of decided cases in its history. So in other words, that it's not deciding a lot of cases. And the cases that it is deciding are not some of the more controversial ones. So it's waiting really for that full court. So this term has been kind of an interesting one. And keeping in mind, think about Gorsuch, that you know, he's going to be joining late in that term. Even if he's appointed, you know, in the first or second week of April, he will have missed arguments on some of the more notable cases. So, you know, his impact this year is likely to be relatively small because he won't join cases that he did not hear argument on.
So give us some specific cases.
Well, let me talk about two cases, one in which there would not be an opportunity for Gorsuch to participate, another one where there would be, unless, of course, they hold it over to next term, which is sometimes what they do, and they'll hold re-argument. There is a case called L.A. County versus Mendez that's a rather interesting case and also touches on a highly salient issue. And it's really what's at issue is a legal rule that one federal court of appeals adopted that others refused to follow, which is a rule that takes away the legal immunity of police officers for use of excessive force if their actions provoked a violent response. Okay, so generally, police officers have immunity unless they violate someone's clearly established constitutional right. But one court actually kind of pushed back on that and wanted to open it up. In other words, to hold police officers more accountable for use of excessive force, right? And this, of course, speaks to this part of the public discourse about, you know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and about how much protection we should extend to police officers, how much protection they should enjoy from legal recourse in formal ways, as well as perhaps informal ways, whether, you know, grand juries will bring an indictment against a charged officer, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something that has brought a lot of attention to the court in relationship to that particular issue. Thinking about the impact that Gorsuch might have, there's a religious liberty case that's quite prominent. Gorsuch has
Let me just stop you for one second.
Sure.
There. I take it if Gorsuch is on the court when the Mendez case gets brought up, I'm assuming he's going to vote with the cops.
I will be interested to see. Okay, so there are a couple things going on here. One thing that's notable is that when he was at his confirmation hearing, he held up Byron White as kind of his mentor, and
he had clerked for Byron White,
right?
Wizard
White, right? The justice that he kind of wanted to model himself after. Now, Wizard White was a Democrat, and he was very much kind of a New Deal Democrat, right? So that when it came to certain types of issues of governmental power, he would vote with the liberals, but he was socially conservative. He dissented in Roe versus Wade. And one other area of his jurisprudence where that conservatism showed up was in regards to criminal justice concerns. And so in some ways, that's kind of a bit of a signal that Gorsuch may have been sending out intentionally or otherwise, that he would likely side more for police authority and for the protection of police. And so it suggests that if they hold that particular case over and allow for re-argument so that he can participate, that in fact he might be part of the conservative voting bloc there. But where he almost certainly is likely to come down is in this other case that I was about to mention, Trinity Lutheran Church versus Comer, which is an interesting one. It raises the question of whether a religiously affiliated school can constitutionally be denied equal access to government benefits. Missouri had a program that essentially was to provide kind of a rubberized material for school playgrounds, right? So that, you know, kids that are playing, they fall. It's a better, safer fall than if it's on concrete or on dirt or tan bark. Tan bark was, that was the material when I was a kid. And it was not soft. So,
When I was a kid, the material was concrete.
Yeah. Well, so we're making progress. It's a positive story. Missouri is interesting. They have a provision in their state constitution that prohibits public monies from going to religious organizations, right? So in other words, they treat kind of secular and non-secular organizations differently. Religious organizations are contesting this and saying that they're being discriminated against, particularly where it's not being used for religious purposes, right? This is a playground. It is not, within the church itself. It is not purchasing of religious texts or anything along those lines. And so they are suing. In the past, Gorsuch has basically tried to carve out space for religious organizations to be protected from the state, but also to be included where state money may in fact flow to them, right? So promoting religious organizations by stripping out certain kind of requirements for those organizations, but also enabling them by having access to resources. So in that sense, Gorsuch would appear to be very much kind of supportive of the church in the case.
So he's pretty predictable, we think. And, there are always surprises.
Yeah, on certain issues, I think on religious liberty, he's pretty clearly established. In some other areas, we're not sure. And that was, some of the messages that he was sending during the confirmation hearings were a bit mixed. He talked a lot about respect for precedent. But that doesn't necessarily tell us that that's how they'll vote once they get to the court.
We only have a minute left, and so I wanted to ask you a very poignant question. You're a Union College professor. What happened to the Union hockey team?
Union's hockey team had a fabulous season. They ended up making the NCAA tournament. We're very proud of them. One of the things, of course, that's notable is Union hockey played Penn State, right? It's a very small liberal arts college against a massive state institution. Union offers no scholarships to its players. They do it all as student athletes, unfunded through their athletics, whereas a place like Penn State has lots of scholarships. They recruit internationally. Their top player was brought from Russia. So these types of things, I think, are pretty notable. We're very proud of the hockey team at Union.
As well you should be. Brett Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at the very Union College we've been talking about and Scholar in Residence right here at WAMC. Thank you so much, Brett.